Could I have a little more monitor up here? Last week, Brother Bear just did an outstanding job in preaching. If you didn't see it, you need to. In fact, don't ever miss a meal. You know, before this pandemic, we just didn't do things online, YouTube. But now, you can be in every service. If you'll turn to Isaiah 55, starting in verse number 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all of the trees of the field shall clap their hands." My God. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. Touch it, anoint it, allow it to go forth and minister to your people. We're so grateful for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." So every time the word of God goes out, it affects somebody, it affects something, always. That's what he said, to his pleasure. Early this morning, I got a text from someone that I taught a Bible study to. In fact, I taught 4 Bible studies, 4 10-week Bible studies. I met this person about 20 years ago at a Labor Day picnic. Huge guy, very intimidating, and I just went up to him and said, "Hey, how are you? You need God." He didn't receive that very well, but he started coming to church. In fact, not only did I teach him for 10-week Bible studies, but I taught his 2 brothers and his son and his wife. And he said he was blessed Sunday morning by my message, and he wanted to thank me for it. He moved out of state. I haven't seen him in literally years. And he and his family were now going to church. He said, I know I didn't live up to my potential for God when I was at AFC. I remember calling him and inviting him, and he'd come, and then he wouldn't come. He'd be here for a while, and then he wouldn't be here for a while. And he said, "I know there was an element of disappointment for you, but God's mercy has given me another breath to worship him and to serve him each day." Hallelujah. Glory to God. "My word shall not return unto me void." He went on to say, "My wife is now teaching Sunday school, and my daughter is involved in the music ministry. And believe it or not, Pastor, I'm teaching Sunday morning Bible lessons before service." "My one brother now has been completely restored and faithful to church. My other brother was recently filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. My son and his wife have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost." He said, "I know God gets the glory in all of this, but I told my wife yesterday it all started at AFC and you, Pastor. My word will not return unto me void." I believe there's lots of stories like that. I believe there's a lot of people out there who have heard the word. It never dies. Because God said, it won't be void. The word void says empty without accomplishing what God pleases it to be accomplished. And so there's something about the Word of God that changes you. Whether you see it immediately or not, it changes people. They'll never be the same again once they hear the truth of God's Word. I'm rejoicing today because of the harvest in somebody else's barn. See, the kingdom of God goes beyond these walls, beyond this church. You know, I can't tell you how many Bible studies I've taught on the north side of Milwaukee that never became a part of the church here, but someplace else. Where's the benefit? Well, the benefit is to him. If you'll turn to John chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, Jesus says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You never know. You may not see it happen. You may not understand the witness that you have to somebody else. But one day, all of a sudden, the seed pops out of the ground and there's a harvest. For the last 2 years, the enemy has tried to stop the harvest through this COVID pandemic. It's been very difficult for not only this country, but the entire world. But it actually caused people to have a deeper walk with God, and the enemy meant it for evil, but God would not allow that to happen. So the question tonight, is the pandemic over? You know, you don't see people wearing masks anymore, and they're not socially distancing, and it seems like we are more bold to go out where we didn't before. Some would have us living in fear for the rest of our lives, but that is not God's plan. Amen. We all suffered because of it, taking our freedom and taking us to a greater degree of restrictions in our life. I still often think of Brother Carpenter and the void that he left in his passing because of the COVID. My comfort comes from knowing that one day I'm going to see him again, and both of us are going to have perfect hearing. We would compare our hearing aids with each other from time to time, you know, but not in heaven. Most of all, I find that just about everybody that I know of has contracted the virus at one point, some much worse than others, even those who got the vaccine. God's immune system is still greater than anything that man can produce, you see. I was affected by it for just one day. It was something that wasn't very pleasant, but after one day, I pulled through. But my wife, well, she spent 2 days in the COVID ward in the hospital, and she had trouble breathing, and her oxygen level fell way below 80. No one was allowed to be with her on that floor except for doctors and nurses. During that period of time, I wonder how many lonely people died without the comfort of their relatives. It was tragic. It really was. It was a scary time, and hopeless thoughts start to take over your thinking. You know, my wife was saying she was on a floor with all COVID patients. You could hear them hardly breathing and coughing and so forth. And then all of a sudden the thoughts come, is that what's going to happen to me? And no one in the medical field would be allowed to enter into the room without PPE, personal protective equipment. The doctors and the nurses were covered from head to toe with masks and gloves and gowns and eye protection and headgear, and even their shoes had to be covered in order to protect them from this invisible virus. They looked like visitors from outer space, you know, and they had to change every time they went into the room again. It was a real effort to do that in order to protect themselves and yet, you know, somehow help the patients. There was a fear of this unknown virus that invaded this world, and no one had an answer, and those who had the answer didn't always have the correct answers. So you'd go from one theory to another theory, from one scare to another scare. But I'm grateful that God pulled most of us through this, and we've recovered and doing well today. It's nice to see people's faces again, you know, and not have a nurse stick a swab up my nose into my brain matter. I can't tell you how many times I had to go through that. Perhaps it makes us appreciate the help that we have. And you know, that's really what we should be doing every day, is thank God for our help. If you don't have any problems, you ought to thank God. I feel great. Amen. Yes, God is always watching over us to protect us. He is. Sometimes you might think, well, where was God when this happened to me, you know? But how many got on their knees and prayed? How many fasted? How many said, God, what is it that you want from me? Did it bring us closer to God? Take a look at a familiar scripture in the Old Testament, Psalms, the 91st chapter. Starting in verse number 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's almost like the opening, the apple of the eye. You have to be close to God in order to be in his shadow, you know. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, the angels, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. That's us, folks. Yet worse than an unknown virus is people who are getting sick spiritually because the lack of PPE, personal protection equipment. We need all to have personal protection equipment, all that we can get to protect us from the enemy that we can't see that is around us every day. And we need to put this PPE on every day in order to be safe. Yes, God has ministering spirits watching over to protect us all of the time, according to this incredible chapter. But Hebrews 1 and 14 says, are they, speaking of the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's us. We are heirs to salvation. I've said this so many times. If God would just pull back the curtain to heaven to see a little bit of what God has in store for each and every one of us, we would not have a problem serving God. The rewards are incredible. They're out of this world. Psalms 34 and 7 says, the angels of the Lord encampeth, and that ETH means continually camps around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Hallelujah. We have angels with us all the time. Amen. We don't worship the angels, but they're a part of the benefits package of getting saved, you see. So if you'll turn to Proverbs, the first chapter, and verse number 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. If you'll go into the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to deliver each and every one of us. Now, all of this is very comforting to me. All of these scriptures are wonderful. You read them. You see that God has a plan for each of our lives. He has a protection for each of us. Part of the angels' duties are to watch over us. Yes, they're worshiping angels, but they're also in charge of keeping us safe. Now, it's comforting. So is the idea of doctors and medical professionals who we rely on from time to time in order to help us with our problems. However, there are some things we must do to protect ourselves. God just doesn't say, well, I'm going to do it all. He's saying, there are some things that you need to do in order to protect yourself. If there's anything that we've learned from this pandemic, there were some things we could do for ourselves in order to protect us against this invisible enemy. You see, God also has established PPE, personal protection equipment, for each and every one of us. And he's asking us to use the PPE in our life so we don't get sick spiritually, you know? It's a shame when people die physically, but it is a tragedy if they die spiritually. When there's a cure, when there's a protection, when God already paid the price for it, you see? Hallelujah. I wonder if there's something in the Bible. Let's go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and verse number 13. Let's start in verse number 12. No, let's start in verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we could transpose that. Put on the personal protection equipment, you see, that we're able to withstand this evil in this day. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, invisible enemies, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of all this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here's the thing that you need to put on to cover you from your head to your toes in order to stop spiritual wickedness that could claim your spiritual life. There it is, the personal protective equipment God gives each and every one of us to combat the sickness of sin. It's available for each of us to put on. It'll fit. But we need to put it on every day for our protection against evil. Evil that could cost us our spiritual life. The millions that have died because of this pandemic. 100 years ago, there was a Spanish flu. They didn't have any kind of vaccine. And finally, everyone recovered because they had enough antibodies through natural process. And 100 years later, we have another virus. We don't know what's in the future. And it's a terrible thing for those who have died. But like I said, it's tragic that we have a cure for spiritual sickness and we didn't take it. Notice that God has us covered from head to toe. In fact, when we are wearing all of God's PPE, the devil can't even recognize us. It's like we're from another world. We are from another world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There is no shortage like there was in this world of PPE. God has a stockpile. God will dress everyone up in the same protection as long as they want it. Although the spiritual equipment is readily available, it is entirely up to each and every one of us to put it on every day. Glory to God. It's not something we just read about. It's not something that somebody preaches about. It's something that is very useful in each and every one of our lives, you see. It was such an effort for all of these medical personnel to put on this protective gowns and all of this protection on their hands and face and so forth. But it did the job to protect from this invisible enemy. They were willing to put on this stuff so they could go home and not spread the disease to somebody else. How many of you leave the house before you're dressed every day? See me after church. Yet do we take the time to be fully protected every day? We're reading scripture from Psalms every day, but we really need to take this to heart. Do we take the time to be fully protected? God even tells us what to put on first. He does. First, you are to put on the belt of truth around your waist. Don't leave home without truth. I wonder how many times I've gotten called for somebody who was in our church, but now they have a different truth than the truth that we have, you see. They didn't gird themselves up with truth. They didn't bind it around themselves. Second, don't forget righteousness to protect your front. It's the breastplate. You need the righteousness. There are some who think, well, righteousness isn't so important. Well, what's going to quench the fiery darts that come at you, that the devil throws at you, if you don't have righteousness? Number three, and you wouldn't want to go out without shoes. Huh? So understand that the gospel, you're shod with the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and resurrection that saves us and will keep us saved, you see. Those are the protections. Amen. You don't go outside without shoes. You know that it wouldn't be comfortable. Number four, if you don't have faith or the shield of faith, you are subject to all kinds of things coming at you. Okay, we're almost dressed to go out. My mother would always say, you're not going out of the house without a hat. And I thought, you know, that's going to mess up my hair, you know. I had hair back then. Number five, church, we need something to encircle our heads to keep the proper thinking during the day. The helmet of salvation. 1 Peter 1 and 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins, or the thoughts process of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There has to be something that girds up our mind to keep it from thinking the wrong things. You see, it's all part of the PPE, the protective process. Okay, now we're properly dressed to stand against an invisible enemy. These are all of the things that we put on us, but then there is just one more thing. And this thing we don't put on, we pick it up. All the other things we put on, this one we pick up. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish. Remember, it will never return void. It'll accomplish. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Glory to God. If you're accomplished in the sword of the Spirit, in the Word of God, you're not going to be fearful. Glory to God. Because you always have concealed carry with you. This might be a little inconvenient to carry with you all of the time. Hallelujah. There were several here Monday with concealed carry. I was one of them. But you see, you have to pick it up. But more importantly, you have to learn how to use the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God. Someone comes against you and says, well, you know, holiness isn't so important. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, you see. But if you don't know what the Word of God says, it's so easy, you know, to be affected. You know, someone comes to you with some false doctrine and you don't understand what the Word of God says, You know, you become vulnerable then. Glory to God. And every one of us can pick up the sword. Hallelujah. How many years have you been whacking things with your sword? How many years have you been training with the sword? How many years have you heard the word of God preached to you? How many years have you seen the word of God enacted in your own life? Yes. By his stripes we are healed. Amen. Don't come to me with sickness. You see, I have the sword of the Spirit within me. Glory to God. But what I could do is just put this thing in the scabbard and just carry it around with me. You know, it looks good. I look like a Christian. You know, boy, it might be a little inconvenient to get in a car tonight. And then you can be defeated even though you have the word right next to you because you don't know what the word of God says. Right. Hallelujah. Concealed carry. Amen. You know, there's something about that when you know you've got something to protect you and it doesn't matter who comes against you. You know. And then, like I said, there's no fear anymore. There's peace. Hallelujah. So, put on the PPE. Pick up the sword. Hallelujah. It's not our sword. It's not our ability, but it's God. Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. Amen, amen. Too many people were shaking in their boots when we had this pandemic. Too many variances in what we should do and what we should not do. But I'm so glad I got this book. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When Paul was at Athens, you know, he said, I see that you're way too superstitious. You have a monument for the unknown God. It is he that I declare unto you. You know, people can be in this world and think they know God, and they don't, folks. But if you know who died for you, and the value of you to God, you understand. He'll give his angels charge over you, but he's also, through the cross, given us some protection for each and every one of us. Glory to God. The altar's open. Would you come?